Good morning. He's alive. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. Loved singing with you this morning, Ben. Great song choices. And Sean, great prayer as well. Thank you. Just full of the richness of what today is all about. My name's Steve, lead pastor. I'm about to walk us through a message, but for our church family, just another little notice about the flood crisis that we're in the middle of. A few of us are keen to be helping wherever we can around the place. Stay tuned into our Facebook page for updates about how to do that. Don't forget this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Grace Church. If you want to come along and learn how to do some crisis counseling, more crisis conversation, I think we'd call them, world-class training on offer for free this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at Grace Church. From someone, Stuart Beveridge, who works with the Billy Graham Association and does this sort of thing for his life. The Samaritan's Purse have travelled into our town to help for anywhere from the next 2 weeks to 2 months to maybe 4 months. That's how much work in recovery there will be in our devastated town. So stay up to date for how you might be able to get alongside and help. Keep helping your neighbours and your friends and any in our church family that need help as well. There's going to be an offer coming around as well to cook for the volunteers that have come into town. So lots of opportunities, yeah? All right. How about I pray and then we get into the best message ever. Father God, your Son is alive and he is King and he is risen from the dead and death and our sin is conquered because you have conquered. And so we pray that we would hear the good news of Easter afresh again this morning. Father, we want to live and breathe for you because you are the Lord God Almighty, our Maker, our Creator, King. Father, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our preacher John last week, he gave us a bit of an overview of the last 2 years of Aussie history. Through the label, you remember the 1 in 100 label? 2 years ago, we were going through a 1 in 100 year drought. Seems a little far away now, doesn't it? And then we were hit by the 1 in 100 year bushfires. It was as if Australia, all of Australia, was on fire. And right now, we're in the midst of a 1 in 100 year pandemic. And then there's the 1 in 100 year flood that Port Macquarie has been smashed by. And when I consider the mouse plague that's going on out west, I was very tempted to make the title of Easter sermon this year, The Apocalypse. I reckon I could have had some fun whipping us into some end time frenzy. But that wouldn't have been appropriate. 1 in 100 year disasters, they're not funny. They're devastating. This Easter, we don't need a comedian. We need hope. We need real hope. And the Easter message is hope. Jesus' closest friends on that first Easter, they were left without hope. Jesus' closest friends like Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome that we just read about, were without hope. Have you ever gone to the emergency department and the triage nurse grabs you, don't they? And they get you to rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no pain and 10 being the worst pain in the world. Well, if Jesus' close friends were asked to rate their hope on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being no hope in the world, through to 10 being sure, certain, absolute hope, Jesus' closest friends would have said 1. You see, Jesus had arrived as God's promised king. Jesus' preaching was out of this world. Remember the miracles Jesus did? I mean, he raised a dead girl to life. Jesus promised his followers eternal life. Jesus' closest friends bet all they had on Jesus. when Jesus' friends saw Jesus dead, they had no hope. But that was Friday, and this is Easter Sunday. So let's pick up the story on Sunday. Mark 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him, anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was killed. Jesus' dead body was put in a tomb. That was Friday. Now, Jesus' friends couldn't go and go to the tomb on Saturday. That was the Jewish Sabbath. And on the Jewish Sabbath, Jews were not allowed to prepare a body for a funeral. And so early on Sunday morning, a few women got up, gathered some spices to go prepare Jesus' body for his funeral. And did you hear the conversation they had along the way? The two Marys are talking to each other. How are we going to get to Jesus' body? A large stone has been put in front of the opening to the cave. And when they arrived, the large stone was moved. They stepped into the tomb and they saw a young man dressed in a white robe. Now, we know from other Bible stories that the young man was actually an angel. Imagine walking into a tomb to embalm a body, being confronted by an angel who tells you, don't be alarmed. I think it's a little comical, but it's more than comical. It's hope. Have a listen to what the angel said to the two Marys again, verse 6. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See this place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now, this week, I met Nick. Nick was doing some work in my neighbor's yard. He was taking down a tree there, and I knew I needed some work done on a tree. So I went to talk to Nick, and picture, you know, a rough and tumble Aussie bloke that's just been working really hard. And when I meet someone, I generally open with, so how's it going? And Nick looked at me and said, not good, mate. And it was the last response I expected in that context, like, not good. And so I ignored him. Not true. I followed up with, what's going on? And Nick said he had lost everything in the floods. Nick and hundreds of other flood victims are in need of hope. Now, Nick's got some mates around him, and he does have hope on the horizon. And there's situations we're all going to get smashed by, aren't there? It may not have to be a 1 in 100 year disaster. It might be that terminal diagnosis. It might be that conversation, I don't love you anymore. It might be the wayward child and the fractured relationship. It might be the stupid thing you did that has terrible ongoing consequences. There are situations where we are all desperate for hope. But Easter is about a deeper hope. Easter is about an eternal hope. Now, if this life is all there is, we don't need eternal hope. We just need a few good friends and some hope for tomorrow. But friends, there is life after death. And because there is life after death, we need hope beyond the grave. We need hope for when we meet our Maker. And I want you to picture that day. The day you meet your Maker. It is going to happen. How would you respond if God said to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Well, I'm about to show you a little mini video. I've shown it a few times. If you've been around church for a while, you're seeing it again, and I love to show this video because it's a video that just hits us with why we all need gospel hope. And it's a video that clearly answers that question in verse 7. Why did the angel tell the two Marys, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter"? Thanks, guys.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
"Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, 'Cast your net to the other side.' And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, 'This is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side.' And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, 'It is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you love me?"
"Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great."
"Good, then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
"I love you, yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it, all right? Okay."
"Then feed my sheep."
"Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you love me?"
"Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you."
"Good. Good. Then feed my sheep."
"I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you."
"Peter."
"Yeah."
"Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?"
Yeah. "We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up and Mary's like saying, 'Beehive, beehive, beehive.' And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, 'He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.' And we're going, 'Who's alive? Who's alive?' And she said, she was at the tomb and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, 'Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen.' And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there and I'm looking in that tomb and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, 'What does this mean? What does this mean?' And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, 'Don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.'"
"Wait, the angel said what?"
"Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This is
okay." "He said what?"
"Go tell the disciples and Peter." "Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?"
"Peter, that's grace."
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did."
"No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter."
For those of you still exploring the Christian faith, a little bit of background. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. And Peter promised Jesus, he said, "I will never, ever let you down, Jesus. And after he said that, just a few hours after Peter said that, Jesus was arrested, and Peter ran around denying Jesus. Peter basically swore on his mother's grave, "I don't know Jesus." It was a monumental failure. And the reason why I like to keep showing that video is because it highlights how all of us tend to run around and distract ourselves from our failures and our faults and our flaws by doing a bunch of good things. Or we'll pop on the news and we'll look at those criminals and think, I'm not as bad as them. And if we're really desperate, we'll pop on reality TV and feel pretty good about ourselves when we watch that lot. But you know, that's all distraction. Because one day, all of us die, and we meet our Maker. And on that day, the amount of good we have done doesn't matter compared to the amount of bad that we've done. But there's hope. There is eternal hope on that day. That is the message of Easter. On Good Friday, Jesus died, and God came and punished Jesus for our sin. And on Easter Sunday, Jesus was raised from death. Jesus has conquered sin and death. And God now freely offers forgiveness to anyone who would turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. Not because we're good, not because we are better than somebody else, but because God is full of grace. Listen, God is ready, because of Jesus Christ, to give us what we don't deserve, because Jesus has already copped what we do deserve. If you've joined us here today and you are someone who has lost everything in our 1-in-100-year flood and you've come looking for some hope, would you please leave your name at our welcome desk? We would love to see how we can practically help you. What do you need to get back on your feet? We'd love to find out how we could do that. And if you're here and you don't know the eternal hope of Jesus Christ, would you also leave your name at the welcome table? We would love to answer any questions you might have about God. You see, one day, we're all going to meet him. We're all going to meet God. And there's hope for that day. There is eternal hope for that day. And this eternal hope has the name Jesus Christ. Why would God let you into his heaven? Because Jesus Christ died for your sin and has been raised to life again. And anyone who turns to Jesus in repentance and faith, God freely forgives. Friends, God's grace is all the hope we need. I'm going to pray. Oh, Father God, you are good and gracious. You're the God who created an entire universe. You keep it going. We muck it up over and over again, and yet you freely offer forgiveness through the death and resurrection of your Son. We praise you. Your Son is risen. He's conquered death. He's opened wide the gates of heaven. Father, for those of us who you've already saved, would we be keen to share your good news wherever we go? And Father, for anyone here who is yet to be saved, Father, stir within them a drawing towards you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.